Very good morning to you, brothers and sisters who are joining us on this Father's Day. Today is a wonderful day, and I believe all of us are excited, and you want to remember and honor all our fathers, our grandfathers, our uncles, and all men who have filled such an important roles in the lives of our families and also in our church. Dear fathers out there, we want you to know how important you are to God, to your family, to the place that you work, to your friends, to your relatives, and also to us as a church. Today we want to look at a very interesting and an inviting topic where Jesus is calling the disciples to have breakfast with him. I've entitled today's theme as Come and Have Breakfast from John chapter 21. Let's spend some time just asking God to bless us as we engage ourselves on God's Word. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your Word that is given to us. As we read, as we ponder on your Word, we pray, God, that you will stir our hearts and minds to love you, to draw closer to you, Lord. And let us know that you are with us, Father, that we can always count on you. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen. Dear friends, have you observed that when it comes to food on Mother's Day, you know, on Mother's Day, we have an extended breakfast or at times a brunch, or maybe we have an extended dinner. But when it comes to Father's Day, it's usually a cookout, a grilling, a barbecue, where you see that the father is the main chef, and he is expected to do the cooking, and he wants us to eat whatever comes out from the grill. And today's topic is a very interesting topic when we look at John chapter 21. It's a story of a group of friends having a barbecue breakfast by the beach. What an interesting scene. What an interesting moment. You know something, when you look at the passage very carefully, Jesus is the main chef here. And he is the one preparing breakfast. I believe there was a lot of excitement to see their master doing the cooking or even preparing breakfast for the disciples. You know, in John chapter 21, this happens shortly after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, where Jesus defeated sin and death by dying on the cross and he rose from the dead. And this is the greatest victory of all time. You know, sometimes we might wonder, you know, Jesus should have a victory parade like many politicians, or even show powerful miracles that he is risen, that he is alive. But when you look at the passage, it's a very interesting passage because Jesus is cooking breakfast on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. What a quiet, what a humble, and what a gentle picture that we see. It's not, you know, the way that we expect the Son of God to reveal himself after the resurrection. But Jesus comes to show his love and his care for us. Anyway, when you look at the passage, you realize that after crucifixion and also the resurrection of Jesus, the disciples were asked to wait in Galilee for Jesus because Jesus told the disciples, wait for me there. But what did they do? When you read the passage, you realize Peter wanted to go back to fishing. And so he's inviting his friends. In verse 3, he says, I'm going out to fish. Simon Peter told them. And they too said, we will go with you. And so they went out and got into the boat. What a wonderful time, you know, these disciples were doing. They gathered together. They wanted to fish. But unfortunately, the passage also tells us they caught nothing. They caught nothing throughout the night. They are not ordinary people. They were professional fishermen. They knew the Sea of Galilee. They knew when, where to catch. But there was no fish, and they were unable to catch any fish. Can you imagine the frustration? Probably some of the disciples were blaming one another by saying, you know, it's because of you. You know, the more I look at it, I realize all our labor is in vain if the Lord is not there. Psalm 127 is a powerful reminder because it says, unless the Lord builds, right, the workers labor in vain. It was a challenging night. It was a difficult night for the disciples. I believe some of you would identify with the disciples by saying, you know, we work hard. We work long hours. We work hard at everything that we hold dear. But still our dreams may not be fulfilled. We still have the vacuum in us. But one thing I realize, the Lord knows us, my friend. The Lord Jesus understands us. Here we see, you know, the loving or even the caring moment of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in verse 4, early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. I like this word. You know, these disciples were frustrated. Probably they were just blaming one another. They were hungry. They did not know what to do. But Jesus, early in the morning, he stood on the shore. But they did not recognize that it was Jesus. Jesus stood because he cared for the disciples. He came to meet the disciples, not to condemn them, but to spend some time with them. And not only Jesus is just standing by the shore, we also read from this particular passage that he is just guiding them because they were trying to catch throughout the night, but they were unable. And so Jesus guides them by saying, you know, why don't you throw the nets the other side? I would have wondered, you know, maybe some of the disciples would have grumbled by saying, you know, what difference does it make? Which side of the boat we throw the nets? And maybe some of them would have said, who is this guy trying to instruct us? But because they were desperate enough, they wanted to try anything. Unfortunately, they were not able to recognize him. I believe there are moments in our life too, because of our spiritual dimness or even our distance from God, we may not recognize the Lord or even recognize his voice like the disciples. But as they were just toiling, to their surprise, their nets were becoming heavy. You know, their nets were filled with great big fishes. They caught fish. Not because they were lucky, but because they listened to the voice that came from the shore. I believe for a moment, John would have been pondering. You know, he would have thought, you know, he would be looking at the fish and just thinking, I have heard this voice before. And I've seen my master do the same miracle before. And we read that in Luke chapter 5. And in this particular passage, John is shouting. He says, it is the Lord. Can you see the excitement? He says, this is the Lord. It is the Lord. Put yourself in the shoes of the disciples. And imagine the emotions they might have been experiencing. They're emotionally and physically exhausted. What a surprising and a shocking moment. Jesus wanted to be with the disciples. And he wanted to care for them. A lot of lessons that we learn. One of the things that we learn that Jesus knows where you are. And he knows what you're doing, my friend. He knows your hard work. He knows your busy schedule that you're in, that you're overwhelmed with so many things. You know that your busy life has affected you emotionally, mentally, or even your spiritual growth. Like the disciples, we need help. The Lord wants to help us. The Lord wants to guide us, and he is our help. And he is the one who's able to do that, my friend. The passage also reminds us, he comes when we least expect him. He comes out every day, in our everyday world. He comes out in our workplaces. He comes out when we are traveling. He comes out in the many decisions that we are making in the midst of our fears and worries. The Lord is there. But do you see Him, my friend? Do you recognize His voice? Do you know that He is there with you? And He wants to come and help the way that He helped the disciples. They listened and they knew that it was the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, when I look at the passage, not only I see the caring side of the Lord Jesus Christ, but I also see a refreshing moment. I know not only Jesus comes to meet them in the everyday responses or responsibilities, but Jesus comes not just to say hi and bye, but He comes because He wants to have fellowship with the disciples. What a refreshing moment. He wants to have fellowship. In verse 12, Jesus says, "No, come and have breakfast. Come and have breakfast." And none of the disciples dared to ask Him, "Who are you?" Because they knew Him. You know, before Jesus could have invited, I believe Jesus was there way before these disciples came on shore. He was preparing the fire. He was cleaning the fish. He was preparing the bread. And He was there just preparing and showing His love for the disciples, my friend. Sometimes we might wonder and ask, where did Jesus get the fish? Or where did He get the bread? This God is a God who can create out of nothing, my friend. Is He all-sufficient God? He's a God who provides. He knows our needs. He's able to provide each and every need of us. The same note we realize, Jesus is also inviting them by saying, bring some of the fish you just caught. Maybe He knows that these guys were really hungry because throughout the night they caught nothing. And He wants them to bring the fish that they have also caught. And so it's time to eat. Come and have breakfast. For a moment I was just trying to imagine when they were sitting around the table. I believe they were speechless because there was awe in the presence of Christ. Maybe they were looking at one another. They did not know what to say because they knew it is the Lord, and they were just sitting down, just looking at the things that He's doing, that He's preparing. I believe they were just enjoying the moment with Jesus, just sitting around, just soaking the time with Him, the powerful experience, my friend. That's a powerful reminder, just sitting in the presence of God and enjoying Him. In verse 3, we also realize what's happening here. It's a very powerful. Jesus came, He took bread and He gave it to them and did the same with the fish. Not only He was doing the cooking, my friend, He is serving. He's serving. He prepared everything for them. And He's just serving. I believe when Jesus was serving, these curious disciples would have just looked at the wounds of the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. They'd have seen His wounds. They'd have been reminded of His love, reminded of His miracles, reminded of His teaching, and also been reminded of the Last Supper with Him. Jesus is just serving with a lot of love. He's showing His love to the disciples. What a refreshing moment, my friend. I believe when Jesus was doing the cooking, I trust, and many fathers will also agree with me, you get your hands dirty, right? Because you're dealing with a lot of oil, grease, and all that stuff, and toasting the bread. And I trust Jesus' hands was also you know, getting some dirt. It also shows, right, Jesus was willing to give his life to take away the sins of this world, my friend. And he's always willing to do that. Dear friends, when you look at this refreshing moment, it is a powerful reminder that Jesus is inviting us. He knows our labor, he knows our worries, he knows the many decisions that we are making or even struggling to make. And Jesus says, just come and have breakfast. Just enjoy the time with me. Scripture reminds us, the Lord says, no, come, for heavy laden, I will give you rest. Whoever you are and whatever burdens you might have, the Lord invites us. He wants to have fellowship with us. He wants to refresh us. He wants to meet us. He wants to serve us so that we too, like the Master, will continue to serve others, my friend. What a powerful, what a wonderful moment of just experiencing the Lord. Finally, when I look at this particular passage, I see another interesting thing that is happening. I believe many of you are aware, you know, during the barbecue or during the grilling time, and when we are eating, we talk about the food. But once the food is done, what happens? Our conversation differs, right? We start talking about some serious stuff. We don't talk about food anymore. We talk about life and many things about life. And this is what was happening. Once they were done with food, Jesus wanted to have a conversation, a very serious conversation with Peter. And it says in verse 15, it says, when they finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than this? What a powerful question, a heart-searching question Jesus is asking Simon Peter. I believe Jesus would have just brought him aside, both of them just looking at the Sea of Galilee in a very non-confrontational manner, in a very conversational pattern, not to question him. But Jesus is asking, Simon, do you love me more than this? The words of Jesus to Simon were so powerful, my friend. Just imagine how Simon would have felt. Reflecting on his relationship, reflecting on the experiences with Jesus in the past. He would have just reflected all this. He would have thought, you know, Jesus should condemn me for denying, but he is asking me whether do I still love him? And I believe the Lord is asking us the same question. Instead of condemning us, instead of rebuking us, he's asking, do you love me more than this? If you realize, Simon is answering three times, right? Because the Lord really wants to know that Simon loves him. When Jesus talks to his disciples about loving him, it is something more than ordinary friendship, my friend. In God's kingdom, relationship is the key. God wants to relate with us. God wants to have a relationship with us, and he's asking whether do we love him. Whether we love him truly and deeply. I believe the same question has been asked to each and every one of us. Will we be able to say, Lord, I love you? Now, today, it's very easy for many of us, right, to say, Jesus, I love you. We say it in our prayer. We sing it through songs. We show our love through worship, by even giving our offerings to God. It's not the list of good deeds or ministry that we do, which is wonderful, which are so wonderful, my friend. But Jesus is asking, Simon, do you love me? Because love changes everything. Real love for the Lord Jesus Christ changes everything, my friend. When you read Simon answering, he says, yes, Lord, I love you. And that was not only the only time that he said, but throughout his life, Simon loved the Lord Jesus Christ. He never turned back, my friend. I believe Jesus is asking us the same question. Do you love me? What would be our answer? Would we be bold enough to say, yes, Lord, I love you more than anything else in this world? Or maybe we might be surprised or even shocked. Or maybe some of us might think, I really do not know. Simon was bold enough to say, yes, Lord, I love you. And he was true to his faith. Tradition also says that he died as a martyr for the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, today I believe many of us will gather with our families or even with our loved ones, not only to share Father's Day wishes, but also to come together for a time of meal. And as you come together for a time of meal, or maybe having a barbecue time today, I just want you to take some time to reflect on the inspirational quotes that you are about to see in a video clip. I want you to know how your life has impacted and how your life can continue to impact many around us. And during the time of your meal, remember to retell stories of how God has surprised you, how God has blessed you, and how God has provided for you. The Lord be with you.